You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. One of the most famous songs of the 20th century and one of the most famous voices of the 20th century, Judy Garland. This week marks 50 years since that voice was stilled. University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor Dr. Howard Markell is with us with a cautionary tale of Hollywood and the ravages of addiction. Remind us about where and how Judy Garland was found when she died.
Well, she was performing in London, and she was performing in lots of places that last year of her life because she needed the money. She was broke. Mm-hmm. And she was taking a combination of barbiturates and opiates and amphetamines or speed, and she was literally slumped over on the toilet. She was probably constipated from the opiates and was found dead.
And at the time she died, how old was she?
This is the interesting thing, only 49, and if you look at a picture of her, she looks like she's 69. Remember those TV shows mm-hmm. she did? She looks quite old, and you can hear it in her voice. It's a very different voice, say, in the 1960s than the 1940s, for example.
Absolutely. And so what was the official cause of death?
Well, this is the coroner, the Scotland Yard was called, and the coroner said it was a barbiturate overdose, accidental. And the point this doctor was making was that she had been on these meds or these drugs for so long and had such a tolerance for them, like a lot of people did with barbiturate sleeping pills, which is why we don't prescribe them anymore. They take a lot, they feel nothing, and they take more, and they accidentally overdose because they are not falling asleep in an appropriate manner.
You know, when I stop and I think about the way you describe this, it certainly echoes Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley and many other Hollywood mm-hmm. stories, Michael Jackson. And, you know, these people, they're famous and they can get doctors who will do almost anything for them, even if it's ethically wrong or legally wrong. And they become their own doctors, so to speak, which addicts are quite good at doing.
It is such a sad and a far cry from that little girl that mm-hmm. America first met in The Wizard of Oz. And you say accidental is not the word that you would use to make a final diagnosis. Why is that?
Well, while I can't surmise if she actually wanted to kill herself that day, addiction is a slow form of suicide. A patient once told me it's suicide for chickens because you never know when that dose is going to take you under and you will die. But she was such a marvelous talent, yeah.
She was. But walk us through that tortured life of substance abuse, because it was starting when she was that little girl mm-hmm. making that movie,
yeah.
you know, that made her
even
famous,
before.
Making The Wizard of Oz even before,
yeah,
right?
She was 17 when she made that movie, but mm-hmm. she started working for MGM at the age of 12. She first went on the stage as a two-year-old. Her father and mother were vaudevillians, and she just walked on the stage accidentally and started singing, and everyone applauded. And she, even when she was 10 or 11 or 12, she was heralded as the little girl with the big voice. And so she made a lot of black and white movies for MGM, the Andy Hardy movies, those Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland musicals, which are wonderful.
And those were all after Wizard of Oz.
No, those some are after, yeah. a few are before. Yeah. yeah. And Wizard of Oz originally was going to star Shirley Temple, but 20th Century Fox would not release her. Daryl Zanuck would not release her. I can't imagine that movie with anybody but Judy Garland.
So what kind of pills were studio doctors giving her?
Well, here's the thing. Whether it was studio doctors or they got their own doctors, they were given pep pills to pep up, you know, and then they couldn't sleep, so they were given barbiturates to slow down. Now, imagine doing piecemeal movies. You know, you have to you do scenes, and it may be out of order, and there's no continuity to it, so this may be the big finale, and you have to be Judy Garland. So they would pep her up with amphetamines. And she said, you know, this was MGM and Louis B. Mayer who ordered this. Now, Mickey Rooney, who was in a lot of films with her, said that was not the case. Louis B. Mayer never told us to do that. You know, and Catherine Grayson once said, well, you know, Judy gets drunk a lot and she says some crazy things. But somebody gave her those pills. And by the time she was in her 20s, she was a full-fledged addict.
Weren't they also on to her about weight?
Well, yeah. I mean, so she went to sort of kind of high school at MGM. You know, they're all in between scenes going to school. So you know, young women and young men have body images or puberty issues and so on. So imagine going to school with Lana Turner or, you know, Clark Gable is walking in the classroom. And so it was amped up and, you know, she wanted the same boys that Lana Turner may have wanted. And there was competition for that. And she had what she called a funny body. She had a short torso and kind of chubby legs. And so she was always struggling with her weight. And she would go up and down the scale, and particularly in her later movies, you know, her last movie for MGM, Summer Stock, which is really a remake of the Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland movies, and neither her nor Gene Kelly were thrilled with the material. But you'll see her really kind of chunky in early scenes, and in that famous Get Happy scene where she's wearing a tuxedo but no pants, she's quite svelte. And she took a few weeks and didn't eat anything. And
probably took a lot of diet pills on top of all the other things.
Yeah, and that could, you know, affect your behavior too, by the way. And not eating for a week or two is also not a good thing to do.
What lessons can we learn from? It's interesting. As we speak, I heard this morning a big network report on opioid addiction in the heartland and youngsters growing up basically parentless because the parents are strung out on opioids. What lessons can we take away from Judy Garland's life and her death?
Well, the hopeful one, A, it's a tragedy because this was such a remarkable talent that is gone. But the hopeful lesson, in my opinion, is that addiction is a disease. It is not a moral failing. And while you do take the first dose or two, once you're hooked, you're an addict. And dealing with these poor souls, and we all know one out of three to one out of four Americans have a substance abuse problem. If we deal with them in legal ways or punitive ways, as opposed to helping them, and there are treatments available, then we're lost. And this public health emergency will never get solved. We also have to be careful about what we push, what doctors push, and what we write prescriptions for, and what the pharmaceutical companies make, because we're all looking for a magic pill. The great Hopkins doctor William Osler said, what separates man from the animals is desire to take medicine. And we're all looking for that magic pill to make us feel up, make us feel down, make us thin, make us happy, whatever. Doesn't exist. There's no free lunch with a pill. You always pay a price.
University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor, Dr. Howard Markel, thanks so much.
Thank you.